Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Anago to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome to the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Hope you're having a great start to your Wednesday evening here today in the Northwoods. And hard to believe it, but it is 5:30 and it is already pitch black outside. I can't believe that.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Yeah, starting things off with the hello, darkness. We got a lot to do. I'm just going to go ahead and give you a warning. Before we start anything, there is going to be a lot, and I mean a little bit lot, of ranting today. A lot. Coming up, Wayne Mauser from 102.3 The Bug will join us as we'll recap the Lions-Packers game and how rainy it was. And we've got Hatchet Wrestling royalty in the house tonight. We've got Alyssa Lampe. She'll join the show and talk about her career and what brings her back into town. Plus, Wisconsin basketball will begin their season. We'll also talk about the... We'll also talk about the Bucks and what's going on, what needs to change. And we will also have Leona Wabino, head volleyball coach Michelle Bohr, on as she will talk about her team's trip to the state tournament, which they play their state semifinal tomorrow. We'll give you a bit of a quick preview on that later on. But first, we're going to hit the gridiron and talk some Badger football. Okay, so here's the thing. I thought that if Wisconsin played a similar performance in the first three quarters of their game against Penn State, that there would be a legitimate chance that they could beat Iowa. Because the Hawkeyes are not known for their offense. Iowa is a historically great defense and special teams program. They win with complimentary football. Saturday night, this is the first time I can legitimately say this in the Luke Fickell era. Because the Badgers haven't had a lot of success so far, which sometimes it takes time. You know, it takes time to build programs up no matter who you are, unless you are able to rake in money from the transfer portal. The Badgers got punked on Saturday night. There's no other way around it. 42-10 in Iowa City. And that was an absolutely atrocious performance by Wisconsin. They never got off the bus. They got punched in the mouth and never responded. That was embarrassing. The Iowa Hawkeyes have now won three straight over the Badgers for the Heartland Trophy over the last few years. And the depressing part about all of this is that Iowa wasn't even at full strength. They had their backup quarterback, Brandon Sullivan, in. Their offense has historically been mediocre at best. You look at the rest of this particular team, the rest of this Hawkeyes team, they're good defensively. They're good special teams. All you would have to do is try and make this a one-score game by the time the end of the quarter happened, and you would be home free. Period. End of story. You know what happened? Two interceptions by Wisconsin quarterbacks. They still didn't run the ball enough, and the defense right now cannot stop a 90-year-old running back running down a hill. That's how bad it has gotten for the Wisconsin Badgers. Iowa had two active quarterbacks. And Wisconsin looked lost defensively because they didn't know how to handle a scrambling quarterback when you have numerous running options. You account for everybody in the backfield. Everybody. I nearly threw up watching that game. That's how bad that game was for Wisconsin. And with the other losses, you can at least say, well, USC, even though they're struggling right now, they're still a very good team. With Penn State, even though they lost to Ohio State, they're still a top 10 team for a reason. And they lost to Alabama, who even though they've fallen off, you still have to respect them as a program with Kalen DeBoer at the helm instead of Nick Saban. This was the same team that was in one point of Penn State in the fourth quarter this week. Just one. And the defense couldn't get off the field. In the last five quarters, the Badgers have given up 56 points. 56 points. That is eight touchdowns. That's not Wisconsin football. Running the football. The Badgers have given up so many rushing yards, I can't even count it on my hand right now. Badgers have given up over 500 rushing yards in the last two games. This is not Wisconsin football. This team doesn't deserve to be bowl eligible right now. And I hate saying that because I like Luke Fickell a lot. I think that he is a great coach. He was great at Cincinnati. He has not been able to make that transition this year over to Wisconsin. I don't know what it is. I really don't. Now, we thought that we would see progress this year. We've seen a little bit, but to me, we haven't been able to see enough. Now, I don't think it's fair to fire him after just two seasons. I don't think that's the wise move. What I do believe is that you need to try and get, and I've said this before, you need to try and get different coordinators that'll work under you. Because if you get different coordinators that work under you, then you could be able to see some success. Plus, the Badgers have been able to bring in all of these transfers very similar to how the rest of the teams in the Big Ten and the SEC go. And they haven't materialized, mainly at the quarterback position. I'm not talking about Tyler Van Dyke this year because it is sad what has happened to him. He got hurt, so Brandon Locke had to come in because of injury. I'm more ticked off at the fact that Tanner Mordecai didn't succeed in that run-and-shoot offense, in that air raid offense, because Mordecai was successful in the run-and-shoot at SMU. He was not nearly as successful when he was at Wisconsin for his 1 year. This team looks lost. They just don't know where to go. And it doesn't get easier from here. Wisconsin's got Oregon in 2 weeks, who's the number one team in the country. And the only advantage that Wisconsin has is that the game's at Camp Randall Stadium. And after that, they go to Nebraska and they got Minnesota. None of those games are easy. Minnesota upset USC. Nebraska is a very respectable program that has won. That has won more games this year because of who's behind the helm and Matt Rhule. So believe me when I say that there is serious concern that Wisconsin could not finish bowl eligible this season. They need to win one of their final three games to be bowl eligible. Where is this offense that put up 52, 42, and 23 points in that three-game winning streak against Purdue, Rutgers, and Northwestern? And don't give me that, oh, those are bad teams. Northwestern and Rutgers, probably going to be bowl eligible. You want to talk Purdue? That's fine. Don't have a problem with it. This team is literally a version of Jekyll and Hyde. 1 week they show up, they're putting up good numbers offensively, they're putting up decent numbers consistently, they're putting up decent numbers defensively, and they just can't seem to put it together. The likelihood of them being able to try and rebuild this program, they're trying. That's the important thing here. They are trying to get these transfers in. They are trying to make sure that they are able to compete on a high level. And they haven't been able to do that in the Luke Fickell tenure. Now, if you want to say that Luke Fickell is to blame for bringing on the coordinators, that's fine. I think that he is slowly making this transition from a running team to a passing team. Remember, do you realize, by the way, that the Badger offense is second in the country in 30-yard pass plays this year? Oregon's only got more. And they're the number one team in the country. but for some reason it's not putting it together. And I think it's primarily due to the quarterback play. I've said this once before, I'll say it again. Braden Locke is not a starting quarterback in the Big Ten. He's not. I'm sorry. I've given him a chance. This is now a full season of him starting almost going on. And we just have not seen enough for me to legitimately say that he should be a starting quarterback. If I am Coach Fickell, I am asking him to transfer because he does not deserve to be the starting QB for the Wisconsin Badgers going forward. Now, what does Wisconsin do about their quarterback situation? You're going to have to wait until the next recruiting season. Unless you want to go ahead and put Mabry Matawre in, who's a true freshman, and see what he's got. Which, it would honestly be hit or miss. And if Matawre is hurt, go back to Block. If Matawre is worse than Locke, go back to him. That's honestly where Wisconsin is right now as we speak. The Badgers are in this sort of like weird transition period, and they don't know which buttons to press. And they haven't pressed a lot of right ones, unfortunately. Take a look at some of the other Big Ten results from Week 10. Number 24, Illinois, upset by Minnesota 25-17. Northwestern over Purdue in overtime 26-20. Number 4, Ohio State, knocking off number 3, Penn State 20-13. Number 1, Oregon over Michigan 38-17. UCLA over Nebraska 27-20. Number 13, Indiana over Michigan State 47-10. And Washington over USC 26-21. Taking a look at the Week 11 games taking place across the Big Ten today. Iowa's at UCLA at 8 o'clock on Friday. Games on Saturday are Minnesota at Rutgers, Purdue at number 3 Ohio State, Michigan at number 8 Indiana, Maryland at number 1 Oregon, and number 6 Penn State is hosting Washington. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Wayne Mauser from 102.3 The Bug will join the show, and we'll break down the Packers' loss to Detroit this past Sunday. That's next here on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods, this is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
V-Goods Do It Express features a large selection of hunting products for the fall hunting season. Check out Brian's selection of archery equipment, from crossbows to custom-cut arrows. Choose from a variety of tree stands, the muddy-enclosed hunting blind, and ladder stands, plus deer scents, feeds, hunting clothes, and boots. V-Goods Do It Express, North 4th Street, Tomahawk. They're ready for the fall archery hunting season.
Make your next vehicle buying experience easy at Bremen Merrill Ford. How? Let's start with our sales team, who consistently ranks among the top in overall sales experience and sales satisfaction. Ranked high because of their commitment to making everyone's vehicle buying experience easy and enjoyable. And of course, the obvious. Bremen Merrill Ford will give you the absolute best price on all new and used trucks and SUVs. In addition to the best price, Bremen Merrill Ford has the best selection of late model trucks and SUVs to choose from. All inspected and fully reconditioned by factory trained and experienced Ford technicians. Buying your next vehicle is easier than you think at Bremen Merrill Ford, with their top-rated sales team, best price, and huge selection of premium trucks and SUVs. Come see why everyone is saying it's so easy to find their next vehicle at Bremen Merrill Ford. Exit 211 South Merrill. Online at BremenMerrillFord.com.
It's easier than you think at Bremen Merrill Ford.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this wonderful Wednesday evening here in the Northwoods. Well, we're having a hard time getting a hold of Wayne Mauser from 102.3 The Bug down in Wautoma. We were going to talk Packers. We'll go ahead and put that on hold. We'll try him again a little later on in the show. Let's go ahead and transition over to the Milwaukee Bucks. What do you say? Well, I didn't prep for two rants on back-to-back days, but that's what we're going to have to do here. So, the Bucks have lost six straight. They're 1-6 to begin their season. They cannot defend to save their life, to be perfectly honest with you. They're very good offensively. Giannis and Lillard are playing incredibly well offensively. Even though Giannis missed the last game against Cleveland, I'm not going to hold that loss against Milwaukee. Because playing without Giannis and Chris Middleton against a team like Cleveland, who, by the way, the Cavaliers are undefeated this season. Kenny Atkinson is doing a fantastic job with that crew. They're defending well. But Giannis and Lillard are averaging 31 and 28 points per game, respectively, this season. My question is, how in the world do you get blown out by Memphis? The Grizzlies, who have been struggling with injuries over the last few years. You finally get the opportunity to try and get a winnable game in Memphis, even though that the Grizzlies have been a house of horrors. What you end up doing is you end up trying to make sure that you can get wins. I think we're going to have Wayne Mauser calling in, so we'll put this on hold for just a second here. You're on the Sports Q here on... Well, that was weird. Trying to see if we can get something here. Anyways, back to the Bucks. They lost by one possession to Cleveland twice. Not once, twice. Last night was understandable because Giannis didn't play. A.J. Green and Andre Jackson Jr. played a lot. Those two need to play more. Ajax and A.J. Green, they need to play a lot more if they are going to win games. And I'm sorry, the Bucks, most of the Bucks free agent signings have not worked out. They just haven't. Delon Wright looks like he's fallen out of favor with Doc. Torian Prince is handling his role just fine. I'm not worried about him. He's been doing an okay job filling in for Middleton. He's doing all that he can. But Gary Trent Jr. looks like an absolute bricklayer. He has the second worst field goal percentage in the NBA among guards, only behind, guess who? Russell Westbrook. Gary Trent is shooting 28% from the field. He cannot hit the broadside of a barn. So a lot of folks are asking what needs to change. And I see a lot of national media pundits blaming Giannis for this. Let me tell you why that is. He deserves blame. But let me tell you why that is off target. I'm going to go back to around March of 2023. And I'm going to go back to when one of the previous owners, Mark Lazary, at the time, he sold the team. And he made a lot of money about it. I'm not mad at him selling the team. You know who is now part owner of the Milwaukee Bucks? Let's see if we can get Wayne Mauser back in here. Let me table this conversation for just a second. Well, doesn't look like it. Looks like we might be having some issues. I think he'll try again later on here. So anyways, you know who Jimmy Haslam is? Mark Lazary sold it to Jimmy Haslam. Here we go. You're on the Sports Q with Alex Cook. Who am I speaking with?
Alex, this is Wayne Mauser. How are you?
Hey, Wayne, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I apologize. I was a little late. We were out doing something and, things... kind of happened, but I really apologize about missing it. I saw it a couple of minutes ago.
Hey, no problem, Wayne. You're currently on the air. Are you ready to talk some Packers?
Yes.
All right. So, Wayne, you and I were back at Lambeau Field on Sunday against the Lions, and it was an ugly game. Packers ended up losing 24-14. What do you think was the biggest reason Green Bay lost Sunday?
Oh, well, you and I, you know, we talked afterwards a little bit at halftime. It's the same things that have been going on, you know, drop passes, penalties, you know, a failure to convert in the red zone. And, you know, it was just one of those games. I didn't expect that, but it sure happened. So, you know, the Packers have to regroup. I mean, the players in the locker room afterwards, very somber. They know what they have to do. But that game was a repeat of a number of games this year where the interception returned for a touchdown, Jordan Love, his 10th pick of the year, and then again, the penalties. And just, you know, the plays that you would think they wouldn't make, the red zone, you know, inability to score. So there's so many things that they didn't do on Sunday that led them to lose that game.
So let's focus in on Jordan Love really quickly here, Wayne. This is Wayne Mauser, by the way, from 102.3 The Bug in Wautoma, does a phenomenal job. Jordan Love tied a Packer franchise record, by the way, with 7 straight games with an interception with Brett Favre when he did it back in 2006. Why do you think he's turning the ball over so much?
You know, that's a good question. You know, they're comparing him to Favre, and I covered Favre his whole career, a gunslinger, right? You know that. Mm-hmm. And maybe you covered a little bit too, but at the same time, I don't know. I think he's trying to make things happen. And I think, you know, he's been banged up this year. That's no excuse, but he got hurt first game of the year, and they're down in South America, missed a couple of games, and you know, he hasn't quite gotten back to the point where he, I think, feels comfortable. He's had some good games, but he still throws some picks. And, you know, some aren't his fault. There was a tip pass a couple of weeks ago when he had the 4 touchdown passes. And, you know, it's just one of those things. I think he's trying to make things happen. And you can't tell what's going on in a quarterback's mind. Only the coaching staff can. And, you know, you and I, you know, we saw it Sunday. It was like that was not a good pass at the end of the first half.
No, it was not.
And he just kind of flipped it about 10 yards, and there were defenders all around the receiver, and it was an easy pick. And that was a killer because at that time, you know, that extra touchdown made a big difference. And then right away in the second half, you know, a touchdown. So They couldn't withstand that and tried to come back, but they still lost. Missed field goal also was something, you know. And McManus has been very good this year, you know, in his, you know, little short tenure with the Packers so far. But he missed one too, and I think the win might have had a factor. But still, you know, I don't know. Jordan Love, he's got to be thinking about things during the bye week, and the coaching staff is mulling things over too. But he's still their guy.
Yeah, he is. He definitely is. So, Wayne, you mentioned, you know, most of the issues that are plaguing the Packers. They're still 6-3 heading into the bye. They're still third place in the NFC North, which the North has been a juggernaut this year with the Vikings playing the way they are. The Lions look like the best team in the NFC, at least one of the best in the NFL. What needs to change for them to make a deep playoff run?
Well, I think it starts with the next game at Chicago against the Bears and on the 17th, and it's like, the Bears are reeling right now. They're not a real good football team. And I like their quarterback, Caleb Williams, but at the same time, there's other factors involved, and he's learning too, and teams are catching on. I mean, they look at the video all the time of quarterbacks and teams, and the Bears not playing great football right now. Maybe that's what they're going to do all year, but at the same time, you know, they're an NFC opponent, one of the Packers, well, the Packers' oldest opponent in the NFL. They're going to be fired up for that game, so the Packers better watch out.
Yeah.
And they've got a week to prepare, but, you know, right now the Lions are the class of the league, and they showed that on Sunday. And the resiliency of Detroit, Jared Goff, big game, you know, just very efficient. And they were outgained by, what, 140 yards or whatever?
Yeah, they were.
Offense. And it was like, but they still managed to come up with a big play and score when they needed to, and the Packers just couldn't respond.
Again, talking here with Wayne Mauser from 102.3 The Bug here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Wayne, you mentioned a couple of issues that are plaguing Green Bay so far this year. One of them is the fact that they are the 5th most penalized team so far this season. Why do you think this team is struggling with penalties so much?
I do not know at this point in the year. You know, the first game or two, you know, you have the offsides, the illegal procedures or false starts. But, you know, Sunday they had 10 penalties and 67 yards, you know, or a couple of penalties. They couldn't, you know, get the whole max. So the deal is that's unexcusable. I mean, the Lions had, I think, 8, if I remember correctly, in the game, but a minimal yards, 55 or whatever. But the Packers just can't keep making these same mistakes. We talked about the other problems they've had, you know, with the interceptions and, you know, just you can't do that. And that's something that has frustrated the coaching staff. You know, Matt LaFleur knows that they have to get better in that. And the Packers know they do. The players, it's on them now. They have to make that choice. You know, Preston Smith got traded yesterday. And, you know, that was, I guess, was going to happen because he was one of the last, what, 5 free agents that were signed a few years ago. Then he got the big contract. But they just have to make the move. They're young, but they have to learn. And right now, you know, they're 9 games into the season, and they're still not getting it. So I guess I don't quite get that either. There's some disconnect there. And for them to, if they want to make the playoffs or make a run or whatever and get a lot better, they're going to have to just create, you know, situations where they don't have those, you know, bad mistakes.
And Wayne, as you previously mentioned, the penalties, I listened to Matt LaFleur speak after the game. It's not necessarily the penalties that are the issue. It's the fact that they're doing them in the red zone, which goes back to their red zone efficiency, because when they were in the red zone 4 times and only came away with 1 touchdown. You can't do that against one of the best teams in the NFL.
No, you can't. And it was frustrating. We're up in the box watching the game and to see these mistakes that, again, by now should be taken care of, and they haven't solved that issue. And they've had, you know, they had line issues on Sunday, and, you know, a different center in there, and they move players around on the offensive line. But again, you know, they are supposed to be able to adapt to that, and you're playing at home, you're playing against a really good football team. But to make those mistakes, I mean, that kills a team, and they're just mistakes that should not be made. They're frustrating.
I definitely agree. So looking at the rest of the NFC North, again, we previously covered it. The Lions are currently, I believe, the number one seed in the NFC. The Vikings, they got back on track with a win over Indianapolis Sunday night. The Bears, as you mentioned, they're reeling a bit, especially with Caleb Williams hurt and losing to Arizona. What do you think is a realistic expectation for the Packers as we stand 9 games in?
Well, I still think they're a very good football team. I think they can, you know, put something together and make a run here and make the playoffs. That's the important thing. That's what you have to do is get into the dance. And at this time last year, if they would, the season would end on Sunday, last Sunday, they would be the 7th seed. So they would be what they were at last year, a 7th seed in the playoffs, a wild card. Look at the run they made to the NFC Championship game against the 49ers. So, you know, they're still a good football team, but they've got so many things to correct. And again, you're always going to have issues, injuries, but the things that should be taken care of by now, the, you know, unnecessary penalties, the picks, and, you know, just things that shouldn't happen, they're still going on. So if you want to make the playoffs, and they think they will, they're going to have to correct those. I hate to get back to those issues, but that's what it's all about. But I think the Packers are, you know, competitive. I think the Lions are the best team in the league, obviously, at least in the NFC North.
Yes.
And then a battle between the Vikings and the Packers for that second spot. I don't think at this point the Bears are going to be a factor, but you never know. And the Packers will have to make sure that they're not a factor in about 10 days when they play them in Chicago.
Again, the Packers are on their bye week. Their next game is against the Bears in 2 weeks. That'll be down at Soldier Field. Wayne Mauser from 102.3 The Bug. Wayne, thank you very much for joining me.
My pleasure, and again, sorry for being a couple minutes late.
No problem, Wayne. You have a great night. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. CBS News and Weather is next.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. High school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
We all have hopes, dreams, and goals for ourselves and our family. This is Rich Teggy with Wealth Strategy Group. Financial goals are no different than any other goal. It all starts with a plan. We know the importance of a solid financial plan focused on what's most important to you. We listen and take the time to understand your vision and create a strategy to pursue your specific dreams and goals. We would appreciate the opportunity to discuss your goals, understand your financial situation, and create a plan tailored to reaching your desired retirement lifestyle. Wealth Strategy Group is here to provide the assistance you need. Call us today at 453-0722 or access us on the web at wsginvest.com or stop by our office on North 4th Street in Tomahawk. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cammie McCormick. A day after the election, many Americans are still debating what's ahead, from New York to Wisconsin.
I've been a Republican my whole life, and I think there's going to be a huge case of buyer's remorse.
I think we're beyond joking now. This is kind of like, now it's kind of serious. Will it be the end of the U.S.? Of course not. You know, this is an ongoing experiment.
Kamala Harris consoled her supporters today. Here's reporter Stacey Lynn.
On a stage lined with American flags, Vice President Harris addressed supporters.
My heart is full today, full of gratitude for the trust you have placed in me, full of love for our country, and full of resolve.
She says while she concedes this election,
I do not concede the fight that fueled this campaign.
She says that is a fight she will never give up.
Donald Trump's team is already at work on the transition, and they say he can flip the switch on day one to get things done. Here's Bradley Blackburn.
And powerful mandate.
Trump has said beginning on day one, he will give the order to round up and expel all immigrants living in the U.S. illegally. He wants to impose a tariff of 10 to 20% on all goods not made in America. And he says he will end the wars in Ukraine and Gaza.
Ed O'Keefe reports some states are preparing for what's ahead.
Democratic governors across the country in big blue states, Midwestern, Southwestern states, many of whom have experience working with the first Trump administration during the pandemic, are in active discussions today about how to, as they put it, Trump-proof their states and prepare for big changes, ongoing changes in women's reproductive health, immigration policy, environmental regulations, and how the federal government will regulate industry and other aspects of society.
Hunter Woodall reports with Republicans now controlling the Senate, Trump will have more allies in Washington.
They were defending so many seats in difficult places, you know, red states, Montana, West Virginia. We thought those were likely to flip, West Virginia especially. But losing in Ohio, that was a big setback for Democrats.
Legal analyst Laurie Levinson on what happens next in the court cases against Trump and the special counsel.
On the federal offenses, Donald Trump's not going to face charges at all because now that he's been elected, and he's going to be in charge of the Justice Department and the people in charge of it. So I think all the federal cases, whether it be Jack Smith's case up in D.C. or the one down in Florida, is going to go away for at least Donald Trump.
The Dow finished 1,500 points higher. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Imagine your team always looking and feeling their best in high-performance technical workwear. Cintas can make it happen. They have garments for almost every job imaginable. And with the Cintas Workwear Program, you get freshly laundered garments delivered every week for everyone on your team. Great garments without the bother of laundry. That's a real perk for employees. Find out how Cintas can boost team image and morale. Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Whether you're ordering wings for the game, whipping up a seven-layer dip, or ordering pizza, there's something about football that makes you want to eat. And this football season, Uber Eats has the best deals on game day food. No matter what you're craving, from two-for-one pizza to buy one, get one wings, Uber Eats will be dropping new deals each week, all season long. Uber Eats, official on-demand delivery partner of the NFL. Order now. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Your TV viewing and online screen time will look a bit different starting today, as CBS News correspondent Peter King reports.
Americans have been bombarded with ads like these.
Nothing worth doing ever came easy.
Kamala Harris has a new way forward.
They've been on for months, in swing states even longer than that. The ad tracking firm Ad Impact says candidates from Trump and Harris on down to local races spent a record $10.5 billion on campaign advertising, which now disappears to the delight of viewers who can now look forward to a new onslaught of commercials.
Merry Christmas!
Peter King, CBS News.
Hurricane Rafael has intensified into a Category 3 hurricane, and it's made landfall in Cuba, which is still recovering from Hurricane Oscar. It's knocked out power. The country's electric grid was already fragile. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
WJJQ Radio Sports Time, 6:07 p.m. Thank you very much for bearing with us during that weird transition. I apologize for that, but you know what? We got him in. That's all that matters. 40 degrees in the Northwoods, currently under overcast skies, with pitch black skies, actually, as a matter of fact, here at our WJJQ studios. Coming up on part two of the Sports Cube, we'll continue our conversation about the Bucks later on. After this, though, we've got wrestling royalty in the house tonight here in Tomahawk. Alyssa Lampe joins the show to talk about her career in Tomahawk. We'll also talk about her coaching career. And later on, we'll also chat with Leona Wabino head volleyball coach Michelle Bohr as she previews the team's state semifinal against Manitowoc Lutheran tomorrow at the Resch Center in Green Bay. We'll have our interview with Alyssa coming up after our weather forecast from Brittany Merlot.
The forecast for the Northwoods. After a dark and cloudy day today, we're actually going to see more and more clearing taking place overnight. This, of course, will allow our temperatures to drop quite cool, right to that freezing mark. So we could be waking up to a frosty start tomorrow morning. And prepare for a breezy day. Winds will be out of the west with gusts around 20 miles per hour and will be sitting under a mix of sun and clouds. High temperatures will only return to the upper 40s. Falling back to near freezing tomorrow night, we do get a nice surge of warmth for Friday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot for WJJQ.
The Sports Q on WJJQ, your source for sports from around the state and in the Northwoods. Here's your host, Alex Cook.
And welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this Wednesday evening. It's now time for our Hatchet alumni interview of the evening, and we have a very special guest in the house with us tonight. Just a little bit about her. She was the first female wrestler to qualify for the WIAA State Boys Wrestling Tournament, first female wrestler to play in the State Boys Championship match, and also was a gold medalist in the 2009 Pan American Games of Venezuela and bronze medalist three times over for the World Wrestling Championships and the Pan American Games. We have Hatchet Wrestling Hall of Famer Alyssa Lampe here in the house. Alyssa, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So let's dive right into this here, Alyssa. You took your chance. You moved outside of Tomahawk. You were a coach for a little bit over in Linfield in Portland, Oregon. What was life like for you outside of this town?
I feel like it wasn't really all too much different. I lived in College Town, so yeah, it was a little bigger, but and maybe like I feel a lot more community here, but as far as like my wrestling goes, like it was very focused on what I was doing, so there wasn't much distraction outside of that.
So, Alyssa, looking at your career, you started your career here. What was it like competing against male wrestlers when you were here in high school?
So, I grew up wrestling boys, and I was always on boys' teams. There wasn't really any girls when I was competing. I'm like an older person in the sport now. Like, girls have their own wrestling teams, and they're used to wrestling each other. So, when I was going through it, it didn't really feel any different to me because I grew up with that. And I didn't really know how big of an accomplishment it was until I had gotten older. And, so I guess I would say there wasn't much of a difference. Actually, until I started wrestling girls, and I'm like, hey, there's differences here. Like, girls are a lot harder to pin. They're more flexible. And obviously guys are stronger, so... just little things like that I didn't really notice until I was older.
Again, talking here with Hatchet wrestling legend Alyssa Lampe here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alyssa, how did it feel competing in the WIAA State Male Wrestling Championships as a senior?
I think my coaches did a good job of keeping me a little bit sheltered and away from like all the media attention that was happening. Because I kind of like blocked that out, but like my coaches helped like shield me from that, so I didn't really notice it was going on really until we had like a press conference after, which is like unprecedented. They don't really have that often. So like, just like when I grew up wrestling boys, like it didn't seem anything different or special to me. And I kind of just blocked out all that other distraction, extra distraction stuff.
So you have traveled across the world. You've meddled in the Pan American Games. You've meddled in the World Championship Games. What was traveling across the world like for you as a professional athlete?
It's funny, when I was going through it, I kind of took it for granted a little bit. Like, I was in India for 3 weeks and I never saw the Taj Mahal, so
like missed out on that.
I sure did. But like, I was very businesslike, focused on just competing and training. But it was really good to see other cultures, experience, you know, different foods and different cultures, different people. So I'm still friends with, you know, some people that I met in Mongolia, Japan, ladies that I've wrestled against and everything. So it really was, you know, I think back on it, I'm like, man, I've kind of lived an awesome life. So
again, talking here with Hatchet Wrestling legend Alyssa Lampe here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. So now, Alyssa, let's go ahead and transition to the next part of your life, which you were a coach over at Linfield in Portland, Oregon for a few years. Why did you decide to get into coaching?
So I never, honestly, never thought that I'd be a coach. I never had any intentions or desire to coach when I was done. But then I retired in 2016. I came back in 2019. I had never had a female coach before. And so in 2019, I had my first female coach. And I was like, I want to do this for other ladies. Like, I want to be that person that, you know, these ladies, I think representation is very important. Like, looking up to someone who's being a leader who looks like you. And then all these girls can say, hey, I want to do that. I want to be a leader. I want to coach other, athletes. I want to be in this role. So, you know, my female coach made me want to do it. And I'm hoping to inspire other ladies that I coach to do it as well.
So, Alyssa, you came back here over the summer. You were inducted into the Tomahawk Wrestling Hall of Fame. What was it like to be selected as one of the best wrestlers in the history of this town?
I mean, that, like, just even hearing that makes my heart, like, swell, because, you know, that really means a lot to me that I can, you know, there's been a lot of great wrestlers out of Tomahawk, and that I'm even in the conversation. I think that, you know, means a lot to me. And, like, I just feel like, I don't know, like, the community around here is just so awesome and supportive. Like, they gave me a standing ovation and I, like, almost cried. Like, I was just so overwhelmed because, like, I had forgotten what that feeling was like.
So, again, we're talking here with Hatchet Wrestling legend Alyssa Lampe here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. So, Alyssa, you've now returned into town. In case people don't know, you're going to be an assistant coach here for Tomahawk High School, as a matter of fact. You're going to be helping out the girls who are supposed to field a really big team. How will your coaching experience, though, on the college level translate to you coaching on the high school level here in town?
I don't know that it will be that much different. I mean, except for the fact that a lot of these girls are, you know, first-year, second-year wrestlers, which I also had in college because I was at a Division III, so it wasn't super competitive, but... So, and I, like, wrestling is very fundamental, basic sport. So, like, none of my technique or anything will change because that's just always how I've coached and how I've taught. So, I think having that really good, solid technique that I actually learned from, you know, Coach Guru and Coach Arnett and those guys. So, I just passing that knowledge on and helping that way.
So, Alyssa, obviously, with you being assistant here, what are you going to be looking for in your first year as an assistant coach here in town?
Honestly, like, I just want to have fun. I want the girls to have fun. I want them to learn something. I want them to get something out of it. You know, wrestling, you know, sports in general for women, like, they teach you to be confident, emotional regulation. Like, there's a lot of things that wrestling can teach you, not just that you use just in the wrestling room or on the mat. Like, I want these girls to go on and be leaders and be strong and transfer the skills that they learn from wrestling into the rest of their life, because it's helped me a great deal in the rest of my life.
Alyssa, do you have any final thoughts before we wrap things up here?
I'm just excited to coach, and I'm grateful that you had me on the show, so thank you.
Absolutely. It's very, very rare that we get a Tomahawk Hall of Famer in the studio. I think you're the first one to come on, so you did a fantastic job. Hatchet Wrestling Hall of Famer Alyssa Lampe. Be sure to see her, by the way, on the mat during wrestling meets throughout the course of the season as an assistant under Bob Guru. Alyssa, thank you very much for joining me on today's show.
Thank you so much.
Of course. Hatchet Wrestling Hall of Famer Alyssa Lampe here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more after this.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Make sure your furnace is ready for the upcoming Northwoods winter with a Carrier Home Comfort System from Hilgi's LP Gas. Bringing comfort to your home is Hilgi's LP Gas of Tomahawk's top priority, and with a complete lineup of furnace systems, Carrier and Hilgi's are dedicated to improving your quality of life by creating a comfortable, healthy living environment. Chances of us having a snowless and coldless winter like last year, well, it's probably not going to happen, so don't wait till the snow flies. Get your new Carrier furnace right now. Carrier, turn to the experts at Hilgi's LP Gas, South Tomahawk Avenue, Hilgi's.com online, or call Hilgi's at 453-3305.
John J. Shuni Construction is a family-owned company serving the area with trucking, excavating, and Wausau Homes. Their Wausau Homes Design Studio is at 1708 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, and they're ready to help make every home buyer's experience an enjoyable one from start to finish. Call 453-2015 for excavating, trucking, and Wausau Homes from John J. Shuni Construction of Tomahawk.
Welcome back to the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Thank you very much. That was a lot of fun chatting with Alyssa Lampe, a Tomahawk Wrestling Hall of Famer. We'll see if we can get a couple more Hatchet alumni in later on this year. Let's go ahead and go right back to the Bucks here and continue our conversation with them. So leading off, I was talking about how the Bucks were struggling mightily throughout the course of the season before, as a result, as Wayne Mauser decided to call in. By the way, thank you very much to him for being on the air. He is a phenomenal, phenomenal broadcaster. Go check out his sports stuff at 102.3 The Bug in Wautoma. He does a great job. So, as I was saying, I was going back to March of 2023 when the Bucks minority owner, Mark Lazary, sold the team to Jimmy Haslam. Now, for those of you who don't know who Jimmy Haslam is, let me give you a perspective, okay? He's the owner of two other sports franchises. He's the owner of the Cleveland Browns and the owner of the Columbus Crew, who is a Major League Soccer team. The Columbus Crew have won two MLS Cups under his tenure, which is good. It's good to have professional sports championships underneath there. But here's the thing. Jimmy Haslam is the owner of the Cleveland Browns. When have you associated the Browns with consistent success since they came back to the league in 1999? You don't. That's exactly the point. They have been a laughingstock of a franchise. The only reason why they're not talked about as a laughingstock anymore is for two things. One, Daniel Snyder did a terrible job running the Washington franchise. And two, David Tepper is currently running the Panther franchise into the ground. Jimmy Haslam was the majority owner for the Browns and helped buy the team back in 1999 to help bring football back to Cleveland. Because, just a little bit of an NFL history factoid, the Browns moved to Baltimore after the 95 season.
Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind?
No, you're not. That brought football back to Baltimore.
Are you ready for some football?
Because actually, the Colts, who were in Indianapolis, were previously in Baltimore as well.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Exactly. It's been a train wreck for the Milwaukee Bucks since he took over. Let's just say that right off the bat. His record with the Cleveland Browns since he took over as the team's owner in 99, 142-71-1 to date. That includes the 2-7 record they currently have after giving Deshaun Watson that major contract. And essentially what they've said is, oh, they won the title? Let's run it back with the same guys. Let's take a look at some of the roster as well. Not counting the free agent signings that were made, because Torian Prince is 30. DeLon Wright is 32. Gary Trent Jr. is 24, but he looks like he's already washed up. This is the rest of the roster. Bobby Portis, 30 years old. Pat Connaughton, 31. He looks like he's lost a step. Chris Middleton, who has still not played and is still recovering from ankle surgery, is 33. DeLon Wright, 32. Damian Lillard, 34, even though he's still averaging 28 a game. And Brooke Lopez, who seems like he can't move to save his life, is 36. This is the oldest roster in the NBA, and you are essentially expecting them to go back to 2021 and be the same defensive prowess they were, minus Jrue Holiday. And all of the national media pundits are pointing to Giannis as the one to blame for this. I'm not saying that he's not at fault. What I'm saying is that he's not the only one. Did he sign off on the Damian Lillard trade? Yeah. Did he sign off on Adrian Griffin? Yes. I don't know if he signed off on Doc Rivers to be sure, though. But it's Mark Lazary's fault for selling his stake in the team to the most nepotistic NFL owner currently outside of David Tepper. I don't care that he isn't the only owner of the team. His mere presence as the minority owner of the Milwaukee Bucks. I saw him, by the way, when he was in Cleveland. It's a miracle that he made it to a game. His mere presence has contaminated the city of Milwaukee, and the patrons should petition to the NBA to remove him from Bucks ownership. Now, do I think they'll do that? No, because I think there's, you know, certain steps that you have to go through. And there's only one owner that has been kicked out of the NBA, who is Donald Sterling, at this point. And if you don't fix this, I just want to say this again. If you don't fix this team, because there's probably going to have to be a few trades to be made here. You're going to need to adjust. You're going to need younger, spry players, or you're going to have to play the younger guys and see what they have, and Andre Jackson Jr. and A.J. Green. They should be in the regular rotation, not 31-year-old Pat Connaughton. And to be honest with you, I would move Brooke Lopez to the bench at this point and put Andre Jackson Jr. in the starting lineup. Because the one thing that he gives you is energy. He can rebound, and he can knock down the corner three. He's also a decent defender, too. Play the young guys. That's what I say. But if you don't get it fixed, it might be time to blow it up. And I know, and listen, in case you missed it also earlier today, Bobby Marks was actually on, I can't remember what NBA show it is. I think it's called the Hoop Collective. And actually said that the Bucks are not looking to trade Giannis Antetokounmpo. So any thought of Giannis leaving Milwaukee, it can be thrown out the window, at least for this year. They're going to try and rebuild around him and see if they can get back to competing for a title. It's a tall task, but it can be done. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ 625. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Michelle Boer, the head volleyball coach for Leona Wabino, will talk about the team state tournament run. That's next here on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Premier Heating and Cooling, your local Lennox dealer, would like to remind you the cold weather season is here. Make sure your furnace is ready. Lennox makes the air warmer, drier, cleaner, and better with innovative systems that are exceptionally quiet and energy efficient to save you money. Ask about qualifying Lennox system rebates. Call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700 for a free estimate for your Lennox heating needs and great service after the sale, with special protection plan memberships available. Lennox innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling, serving customers from Weston to Woodruff and locations in between. Call 453-4700, online at premierheatingcooling.com, or their showroom at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County Road A, Tomahawk.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this Wednesday evening. It's now time for our local interview of the night, and we're going to venture outside the Great Northern Conference and head over to Leona Wambino, where we're chatting with volleyball coach Michelle Bohr. Michelle, thank you very much for joining me.
Not a problem. Thanks for asking.
Of course. So, Michelle, your team, your volleyball team, has made it all the way to the state tournament for the second time in 5 years. Let me first off start off by asking you, what has led you to have a successful campaign with your team this year?
With the addition of five divisions and knowing that we were going to be in D4, I really, really wanted to approach the season much differently. I mean, basically from day one, I told the girls that every practice would be intense and fast-paced just to try to prepare us for, you know, the postseason. And the seniors have really stepped up and set the standard to get us here. You know, three of them were a part of that 2021 campaign. And when they came in, they made the decision that they wanted to end their season on the rush floor. And they have focused and locked in. And everybody else has just kind of fell right in behind them.
So as you mentioned, Coach, this is the second time your program has returned to Green Bay in the last 5 years. What does a second state appearance mean for you and your community?
Well, it means a great deal. I mean, obviously, you know, we put a lot of time in. We travel a lot during the season just to get prepared for this. And, you know, the parents, I mean, it is a huge commitment, obviously, to get to this point. It doesn't just happen. You don't just show up and hope for it. I mean, you really, really have to work for it. And the community is extremely stoked. I mean, we just sold 550 shirts for people to go and attend the game.
Again, talking here with Leona Wambino coach Michelle Bohr here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Coach, let's go ahead and rewind to your sectional final win over Pittsville Saturday night. You had to make the long haul up to Crivitz. What went right for you in that particular match for you to come away with the sweep?
When we first stepped on the floor, I mean, you could feel the intensity in the girls. If you looked at them when they were doing the starting lineups, you know, I tease them and I say, okay, you have to have that eye of the tiger. You know, I mean, they were straight-faced, serious, locked in, ready to go. If when we look back at the stats, we had one serve receive error. That is amazing in itself. I mean, and if you listen to the guys from Zaleski Sports, here is a clinic on passing. I mean, it definitely was. The passes were where they needed to be. The setters got the ball to their hitters. And, you know, we had a few errors, some hitting errors, but for the most part, you know, 93%, it was locked in. Serving was locked in. We really couldn't do much wrong, to be honest. And the back row was picking up everything that they needed to pick up. Blocking at the net was huge. The only time you can get touches and slow balls down, that puts you more in the win column.
Coach, as you make your way to Green Bay this week, what do you think you need to work on the most to get yourselves ready for this field that you're going to be going up against?
Well, we talked about it the other night, and, you know, the biggest thing I think is don't be nervous. You know, the biggest thing is we already made it. We reached our goal. We're going to the rush. Now it's just relax, have fun, let the process that we've gone through the last 2 months, let that be your standard for getting, you know, for everything to work out the way it needs to be. You know, we have worked so hard on all phases of the game, all season. So we're not really changing our practices much. I mean, obviously with Manitowoc Lutheran, on paper we look pretty similar. They have number four. She's a huge hitter. You know, we got to play tough at the net. We got to get a touch. and put up a big block and hope that the back row does their thing. You know, I mean, everybody has weaknesses, so you just got to go out there and execute on our game plan and try to find theirs.
In talking here with Leona Wabino volleyball coach Michelle Bohr here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. So, Michelle, let's talk about the rest of the teams that are in your field. Your state semifinal showdown is against Manitowoc Lutheran, who you mentioned. They're the number one seed in the bracket. They defeated Heritage Christian in their sectional final on Saturday. What can you tell me about the Lancers other than what you just already mentioned?
They have a solid program. I don't know a lot about them. I mean, obviously, we've watched video and film on them, and I'm sure they've watched on us. You know, they, just like any team, they make mistakes. Nobody has a perfect game. So it's just, like I said, it's a matter of going in there and executing against them and being prepared.
Any final thoughts before we wrap up here, Coach?
No, not really. I mean, you know, hopefully everybody has a good experience, and we're going to do the best that we can and try to bring home a ball.
Of course, Leona Wabino takes on Manitowoc Lutheran in the WIAA Division IV State Volleyball Tournament at the Resch Center in Green Bay on Thursday. First serve will be at 11:30 a.m., and the other semifinal matchup will be number 2 Regis against number 3 Mineral Point. Leona Wabino, head volleyball coach Michelle Bohr. Michelle, thank you very much once again for joining me, and good luck in Green Bay this week.
Thank you very much.
Of course, we're going to take another break. We'll be back with more of the Sports Q right after this on WJJQ.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods. You're listening to the Sports Q with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
Hi, it's Jessica from Crossbridge Community Bank. Purpose first means being thoughtful about our customers' needs, our employees' happiness, and our community's growth. At Crossbridge Community Bank, we work to ensure that your experience with us is not just transactional, but transformative. You play a role in the future of our area, and your success is our success. It's Tomahawk and Merrill success. So bank somewhere that puts purpose first. Stop in today at our location in Tomahawk on 4th and Somo, or in Merrill, right on Main Street. We can't wait to see you. Crossbridge Community Bank, purpose first.
Here's a look at your Northwoods 92.5 forecast. Cloudy skies expected tonight with a low of 31. West winds around 5 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Highs level off around 47. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, and that's your forecast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Right now, 41.
Wild Rivers Group Real Estate offers unparalleled service to all clients in the Northwoods real estate market. Your complete satisfaction with our service and representation is our number one priority. Hi, this is Matt Tyler. Whether you are considering buying a home, selling a home, Wild Rivers Group knows the area inside and out. Call me at 490-1820 or stop by our offices at 1414 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, or check us out online at wildriversgroup.com. We're ready to serve you at Wild Rivers Group Real Estate.
Welcome back to the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you. Thank you very much to Leona Wabino, head volleyball coach Michelle Bohr, for joining me on the program here tonight. Had some good interviews today. That was a lot of fun. Let's now go ahead and transition over to some Badger basketball. What do you say?
10 seconds left. Hepburn against Jones. Kicks to Klesman. To the line. In the lane. Goes up. Back rim and in. 4.8 to play. Badgers up one. Here's Jones with four. With three. Right side with two. Heaves it. Missed it. And the Badgers win it. They're playing for the title tomorrow.
That game winner still gives me some goosebumps for Mac Klesman. Unfortunately, Chucky Hepburn is no longer with the team.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, he moved back to his home state of Nebraska. Thankfully, Max Klesman is back, and as is a few familiar faces with the Badgers this year. So Wisconsin basketball began their season on Monday with an 85-61 win over Holy Cross. I know they got off to a slow start. It's no cause for alarm when it comes to these non-conference teams, okay? If they lose one of these first few non-conference games, like Montana State or Appalachian State or Rio Grande Valley, there will be concern. Absolutely, there will be concern. Now, the Badgers used a strong second half Monday night to pull away. This kid, John Tonjay, let me tell you, folks, the transfer from Missouri reminds me a little bit of A.J. Storr from last year. I know Storr transferred, but Tonjay looks like he could be a legit scorer for this Badger team. So I'm not worried again about what they're going to do against some of the lesser conference opponents. They've got Montana State, Appalachian State, or Rio Grande Valley from Texas. Like, that's who they have. It's warm-up, it's cupcake games, which I don't mind a couple to begin the season. But now with the revamped Big Ten, this is where things get a lot tougher for the Badgers and maybe for the conference as a whole. Because the Big Ten, with a revamped conference, only had four teams in the AP poll. They have Purdue, who was the national runner-up to UConn, ranked at number 14, minus Zach Edey. They still have a good team as well. Number 17 is Indiana. And Mike Woodson might be on the hot seat if he doesn't put that team together soon. UCLA is number 22. Historically great program. And number 25 is Rutgers, who is a really good freshman. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but Rutgers has a really good freshman that you should be on the lookout for. And he could very well be a top 10 pick in next year's NBA draft. So needless to say, those are the four teams. That does not include Ohio State. That does not include Iowa. That doesn't include Michigan State. That doesn't include Maryland. All four of those teams, very good programs historically. And that doesn't include Nebraska, who had a very, very good season last year. The Badgers, before they begin Big Ten play, has two ranked non-conference opponents. Number 10, Arizona, which will be next Friday. Very curious to see how well they do against them. And, of course, a matchup with Marquette, who's ranked number 18th overall. That'll be on the first Saturday of December. And in a couple of weeks, Wisconsin's got the Greenbrier tip-off. Their first opponent is UCF. And if you paid attention, they defeated number 14 Texas A&M Monday night to begin their season, which is interesting. So looking at Badger basketball, I know that a lot of people got, I myself got on Greg Gard last year for his atrocious performance against James Madison in the NCAA tournament and how that team did not play well at all defensively, especially in the second half of the season. I know I said that he should have been fired, but he's not. He's still the coach of the program. So that leads me to believe that this year he's on the hot seat. Now, a lot of folks will say that he will not get fired unless it is a disastrous campaign for Wisconsin. And you know what? They're probably right. But Greg Gard has not been successful since Bo Ryan has taken over. The Badgers have not made the second round of the tournament since the COVID year, back in 2020. Which is concerning to me, anyways. So these are the faces that are returning. Again, I mentioned Max Klesman, who's coming back, which figured he would since Wisconsin is his home state. You've got John Blackwell, who looked pretty good on Monday night, and he was one of the best freshmen in the Big Ten last season. You've got Carter Gilmore, who's a bench player who came on strong in the Big Ten tournament. And you've also got Steven Crowell and Nolan Winter. I don't think that those five are starters. I believe that three of them were in the starting lineup last Monday night. It was Klesman, Blackwell, and Crowell. So these are the other newcomers that are in. They've got four new freshmen coming in. And they've got three transfers. So they've got a lot of new faces the Badgers do this year. I mentioned John Tonjay. He came from Missouri. And then the other two are transfers Cameron Hunter from Central Arkansas and Xavier Amos from Northern Illinois. Hunter, he missed last year due to an injury. Amos was a bench player, so he'll probably be a contributor, but I'm very curious to see what one of these four freshmen could very well bring to the table as well. The four freshmen that they have is Daniel Freitag, who is from Bloomington, Minnesota. They've got Jack Robeson, who's from Lakeville. They have Aiden Connop, who's from Sussex, and they brought in an Italian freshman as well named Riccardo Greppi. That is a great great basketball name, Ricardo Grepi. Now, with all these new faces, and you saw it a little bit Monday night, it's probably going to take time to build some chemistry. Let's just be real about this. However, one thing with these transfers that I know is they can score. They can score. John Tanjay can score. John Blackwell can score. Cameron Hunter, he's more of a distributor. But he can still be a legitimate backup point guard. Stephen Crowell can still average a double-double. Nolan Winter played well on Monday night. I don't think this team will lose a step offensively. The biggest thing is going to be, are they going to be better defensively this season? Because if they're better defensively this year, this team could legitimately finish in the top five in the Big Ten this year. They're going to have to play better defensively, though, this year than they did last year. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. Offensively, I think they did a good job replacing the firepower that left. Ultimately, Chucky Hepburn, ultimately AJ Storr. I think they did a good job. But it's the two-way teams that make deep runs in the tournaments. The two-way teams. Teams that excel both on the offensive and the defensive end. Now, I'm not expecting Wisconsin to go to the Final Four this year. I want to see them go back to the Sweet 16. And we have not seen them do that since Chris Chioza hit that buzzer beater for Florida in New York back in, oh, I think that was 2017. That's how long it's been, folks. That needs to change. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ 643. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got NFL predictions right around the corner. That's next here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods, this is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Billy Bob's Sports Bar in Grantland invites you to dine in or carry out all your favorite menu selections, including soup, salad, sandwiches, wraps, and Chicago-style pizza. Happy hour is Monday through Thursday from 2 until 5. On Fridays, Billy Bob serves their fantastic fish fry all day, and Saturday it's prime rib with servings starting at 5 and while supplies last. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L, north of Tomahawk, ready to serve you daily at 11 o'clock. It's Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill. Get on board at Outboard's Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Outboard serves their fantastic menu selections from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. daily. Stop on by for happy hour from 2 until 5, Monday through Thursday. Outboard's Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk, features their Friday fish fry with cod, walleye, shrimp, and catch of the day. It's Outboard's Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Get on board.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you. It's now 6:45. Let's quickly recap our Week 9 NFL games. The Jets with a surprising win over the Texans 21-13. Atlanta over Dallas 27-21. Buffalo over Miami 30-27. Cincinnati over Las Vegas 41-24. Chargers over the Browns 27-10. Washington over the Giants 27-22. Tennessee over New England in overtime 20-17. Carolina upsetting New Orleans and sending Dennis Allen to the unemployment line, winning 23-22. Baltimore over Denver 41-10. Philadelphia over Jacksonville 28-23. Arizona over Chicago 29-9. Lions over the Packers 24-14. Rams over the Seahawks 26-20. Minnesota over the Colts 21-13. And Kansas City knocked off Tampa Bay in overtime 30-24. Three overtime games this past week in the NFL. I don't know if I can remember if we had that happen yet this year, but who doesn't love a good overtime game, right? Meanwhile, my record, I went 9-6. My record is currently 88-53 overall this season. I think a 9-6 record deserves a coin. Just one. Maybe two. There we go. But now, without further ado, let's dive in to our Week 10 NFL predictions.
Yeah, here we go!
So before we get into our predictions, these are the four teams that are on a bye this week. They are Cleveland, Green Bay, Las Vegas, and Seattle. Thursday night, we'll have the broadcast of this game for you here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Baltimore and Cincinnati, these two teams are fighting for AFC North supremacy. Baltimore currently second in the AFC North. Cincinnati, they're trying to get their season back on track. I think these two teams split their games. I'm going to take Baltimore to win this one 28-27. This time, we're now going to go across the Atlantic Ocean for our Toilet Bowl of the Week. And it's the Carolina Panthers taking on the New York Giants.
All hail the New York Giants!
New York Giants!
Giants win 21-20 in Germany. Chicago at home over the New England Patriots. The Bears might be without Caleb Williams. DJ Moore seemed to check out after that during that game against Arizona. I think the Bears will beat the Patriots, though. It'll probably be a closer game than I think Bears fans are comfortable with, but I think they win 24-17. Buffalo heading to Indianapolis to take on the Colts. Colts didn't perform as they originally thought when they would put Joe Flacco into the game. I'm going to take the Bills to win this game. Right now, if you were to put my name to it, the biggest threat right now to Kansas City is Buffalo because of the way Josh Allen has been playing. I'm going to take Buffalo to win 31-24. Kansas City at home taking on the Denver Broncos. Chiefs are still undefeated. Broncos, meanwhile, surprising a few teams with their play this year. I don't think they'll beat Kansas City. They're not there yet. Kansas City over Denver, 27-17. Atlanta heading to New Orleans. The Saints fire Dennis Allen. They've got their interim coach in. Derek Carr has just been struggling. The whole team really has throughout the course of this year. So I think Atlanta will go ahead and take care of business 28-17. San Francisco headed to Tampa Bay to take on the Buccaneers. This should be a very intriguing matchup. I know that the Buccaneers are without Chris Godwin and Mike Evans potentially for this game, but I think it'll still be entertaining. I think San Francisco does get the win 27-24. This time, this is my game of the week. The Washington Commanders taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers at FedEx Field over in Landover, Maryland. This should be a very intriguing matchup, and this, I think, will be one of my upsets of the week.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
I'm going to take the Pittsburgh Steelers to knock off the Washington Commanders 27-24 in a tight one. Keeping it going, this is the last noon game that we have on the schedule. There we go. Wanted to make sure that music was still going. This is Minnesota heading to Jacksonville to take on the Jaguars. And the Vikings, they're a very good defensive team. The biggest question is going to be how well can Sam Darnold play when that team needs him to. I'm going to take Minnesota to beat Jacksonville, though, 30-20. Now we go on to our late games. The Chargers are at home. They're taking on the Tennessee Titans. Titans surprising people with their win over the New England Patriots in overtime last week. I don't think they make it two in a row. Chargers win 24-14. Moving over to Dallas. The Dallas Cowboys, no Dak Prescott. They're taking on the Philadelphia Eagles, who again have played very well this season. It's a roller coaster for them. I know that the expectations are high for them, but they should definitely be happy with where they're at, and I think they get a big divisional win over the Dallas Cowboys, 31-21. The other late game is another intriguing matchup. You got the Arizona Cardinals at home as they take on the New York Jets. Jets, by the way, coming off a big win over the Houston Texans on Thursday night, and meanwhile, again, the Arizona Cardinals, don't look now, folks. They're 5-4. They're still first place in the NFC West in a division where they have the Rams, who are still 4-4. The Seahawks are 4-5. And the 49ers are 4-4. Arizona's standing at the top. And I think they beat the Jets 24-23. It'll be a tight one. This is my other upset, the Houston Texans at home against the Detroit Lions.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
And the reason why I consider this an upset is because the Texans, even though they're going to be without Stephon Diggs, they're getting Nico Collins back. We'll have the broadcast of this game for you also on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Houston over Detroit, 31-30. And then our final game of the week is the LA Rams at home. They're taking on the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins, they got Tua Tagovailoa back, which helped out their offense, but their defense is leaving a lot to be desired. Mike McDaniel could very well be on the hot seat by the time we get to the final few weeks of this season. Meanwhile, the LA Rams, they're performing a lot better, but the important thing is they're getting healthier. They have won 3 straight games, including last week in overtime at Seattle. I think they make it 4 in a row. I think it's going to be a one-score game, but I think the Rams ultimately pull away and win 28-20. Those are my NFL Week 10 predictions here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'll be back with local events and our final countdown after this.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Tired of living with pain and discomfort? Would you like help that's invested in your progress and your personal goals? And if so, Health in Motion Physical Therapy is here for you. Health in Motion ensures you'll receive personalized care from a team of experienced therapists who have remained dedicated to treating the Tomahawk community. And it doesn't have to be expensive. Health in Motion will discuss your insurance benefits with you so you know what to expect before treatment starts. And they offer affordable self-pay rates so you can focus on feeling better, not unexpected bills. Don't wait in pain. Take the first steps toward a pain-free life by calling Health in Motion at 715-453-6650 or visit himwi.com to schedule your appointment. Once again, go to himwi.com and schedule your appointment. Health in Motion wants you to get back to the activities you love quickly so you don't have to be in physical therapy longer than you need to be.
So come on, choose Health in Motion for you.
With so much selection, it might be tough to decide which vehicle you'll drive off the lot at the Auto House on North 4th and Tomahawk. Cars, trucks, and SUVs, there's over 40 to choose from, and all backed up by the ASC Certified Service Department at the Auto House. As seasons change, knowing the vehicle you drive can handle all the cold weather throws at us here in the Northwoods, let Gary help give you that peace of mind as he helps you pick out your next vehicle. And if you don't see what you want on the lot, Gary at the Auto House can help you find what you do want. Rental vehicles are also available at the Auto House. Come and find out why people have shopped at the Auto House for over 40 years, where Gary does business the right way. That's the Auto House on North 4th and Tomahawk, and online at autohousecars.net. That's AUTOHAUS cars.net.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this wonderful Wednesday evening. Thank you very much for joining into the Sports Q here today. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up with some local events. We got a few. Again, we're in a little bit of the lulling period right before winter sports begin, which, by the way, next week we'll be taking a look at the local winter sports events. Now next month starts to get into the busy season for sports here across the area. So again, thank you very much, by the way, to Michelle Bohr, the Leona Wabino head volleyball coach, for joining me on the show tonight. Her team will be taking on the Lancers of number one seed Manitowoc Lutheran at the Resch Center in Green Bay. Both of the semifinals will get underway at 11:30 tomorrow morning. The other match will be number 3 seed Mineral Point, the Pointers, if you will. Very, very creative, I know. They'll be taking on the number 2 seed Regis Ramblers, so we could get a Lancer-Rambler matchup. Both those games take place at the Resch Center in Green Bay. Both those matches get underway at 11:30. The winner of those two semifinals will play against each other in the Division 4 state championship game at the Resch Center Saturday morning, 11:30. Meanwhile, two local teams are still in the mix for a trip to state as well. Meanwhile, in Division 3, number 1 seed Medford, 10-1, 7-0 in the Great Northern Conference. They'll be taking on number 3 seed in Division 3, La Crosse Logan, who upset Onalaska in the last game. The Rangers at the Mississippi Valley Conference. The winner of that game will play either Grafton or Green Bay Notre Dame next week. Be sure to stay tuned. And then the other 11-player football game taking place. Number 1 in Division 6, Coleman, who, by the way, is undefeated in both regular and Northwoods football conference play. They'll be taking on the Bondiwell Bears of the Packerland Conference. Bondiwell, similar records, 10-1, 7-0 in the Packerland. The winner of that particular game will play either Regis or Grantsburg in the state semifinal. Both those games get underway Friday night at 7 o'clock. Be sure to stay tuned for that. And also coming up on Saturday, all Great Northern Conference teams will compete at the WIAA Division II Girls Swimming Sectionals at Menominee. The Diving Sectionals will be taking place early in the morning at around 8 or 8:30, I believe. The Swimming Sectionals, those will take place at 11 o'clock that morning. So be sure to go out to the Division II Sectional Meet and support that particular group, your particular Great Northern Conference team, if you're heading up there. Again, all Great Northern Conference teams competing at the WIAA Division II Girls Swimming Sectionals at Menominee. That's coming up at 11 o'clock on Saturday. And after that, folks, two winter sports practices get underway up here in the area. Hockey and girls basketball. Hard to believe it. So now let's go ahead and dive into our final countdown. Okay, so again, the Hatchet Girls Swim Team are the only fall team that is left remaining, which is typically the case at this point stage in the season. They're competing at the WIAA Division II Swim Sectionals in Menominee Saturday. Meanwhile, Hatchet Winter Sports Parents, they will be having a meeting at 7 o'clock at the School District Auditorium. There will be breakout sessions to follow afterwards. Be sure to tune into the local sports report to find out what those breakout sessions will be tomorrow night during the meeting. And then after that, hockey and girls basketball practice get underway across the area. And then after that, the week after, on Monday the 18th, boys swim, boys basketball, and both boys and girls wrestling will get their practices underway on the 18th. So be sure to keep a lookout for that. Hard to believe the winter's almost here. And I'll give you a little bit of a teaser as well. In more than 2 weeks, that's right, in more than 2 weeks, 2 weeks from tomorrow, our first Hatchet Winter Sports broadcast will take place. That will be Tomahawk Girls Basketball at home against Butternut. We'll have the Fairmont Orthodontics Radio pregame show at 6:50, tip at 7:15, and Matt Tyler will join me in the broadcast booth. If you want to go ahead and take a look also at the winter sports broadcast schedule for November and December, just go to our website at WJJQ.com. Thank you for tuning into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'll be back with you next week. Have a sport-tacular week. Hey!
Listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ. Be sure to join again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community.